Welcome to Gleaning and Gathering. My name is Eric Heimlich, and I'm your host. And today, I'd like to talk to you about survival. You know, right now, I'm in the position that I perennially find myself in, and that is that I am choking on opportunity, as Jim Collins would say. You know, the opportunities that we face as leaders many times are things that we have to make a decision about in the moment. And if you're an eternal optimist like me, you look at the situation and say, sure, we can help with that. Yes, we can do that. And you begin to get down that road a little ways and you realize that maybe you bit off more than you could chew. But what are you going to do? You're in the middle of it. And as one of my friends used to say, you can't cross a stream in two small leaps. You either do it or you don't. And so you reach a point where you are faced with choices. A choice of, are you going to continue or are you going to cut your losses and call it a day and wave as you drive off into the sunset? You know, there are lots of opportunities, and I'll just give you a little picture into my life right now. There are a myriad of opportunities here at Victory Acres. Right now, we'd love to be able to add cattle, and we're in the process of doing that, improving our pastures, redoing some fencing, endeavoring to develop the 114 acres that God has given us here, and to use it for His glory. There's quite a bit of pasture ground that needs to be developed. If you know anything about cattle, right now buying into cattle, it's about the worst time that you could think of to invest in beef cattle at this point. If you're not already in, it's definitely a bad time to buy. The price is high, and it's probably going to go higher, but in terms of trying to get into that, that's a challenge. And so there's just a whole lot of things that need to be done. And so just the other day, we had the opportunity to be able to pick up a bull. And, you know, if you're going to develop cattle, you need good genetics. And so looking at that, trying to determine, you know, is this the right thing? There's a good Hereford bull that was just born. Nearby farmer that was willing to help us with that. And so instead of making him into a steer, he's going to let him go. And he'll wean him in the fall, and he could come, and we could raise him up in the way he should go. And so he could be a nice, docile, gentle bull, which for us is important, with good genetics. And so we could buy lesser cows, and we could breed those and have a good stock. So that's an opportunity, and we're looking at that and endeavoring to develop that. We also have the Face of the Farm project right now that we're working on, improving our signage, improving the look of the farm, the first impression that people get when they come to the farm. Involved with that is also a lot of opportunity that is cleverly disguised as hard work in developing the cabins that are there already, but also adding some cabins and using the RV spaces that we have to host guests. And so there's a number of decisions that need to be made with that. And there are things that need to be investigated. And there's all kinds of opportunity that's there. But opportunity that needs to be developed and thought through and worked with in a comprehensive way. And then there's the opportunity of the gathering. You know, God's given us a wonderful congregation to share life with here at Victory Acres. And I'm thankful for that. But continuing to develop the people that God has given us is really a full-time work, in the sense that we kind of have a community of necessity. And I've talked about that in an earlier podcast, but the community that God has brought to us are people from many different backgrounds, but who struggle in different ways. I'm thankful for the people that God's given us to walk the road with here at Victory Acres. And I would never want to say anything to denigrate or to push down any one of them. But there are challenges as you're walking the road in terms of trying to help people It's always dangerously close to enabling people. And so how do we help people to help themselves and not just enable them in the state that they're in? It's a difficult road to walk. One of my friends in Indianapolis used to say, housing is easy. It's relationships that are the hard part. And I think that's true for everything. Farming is easy. It's relationships that are the hard part. You know, when you're working with people, there's inevitably just challenges in trying to work together. And so God's given us opportunity there, opportunity to be able to continue to develop the people that he has brought here to Victory Acres. And those are just three of the things that I'll put there in the Victory Acres box. There are also the opportunities in Detroit. You know, a few years ago, we had the vision of starting a coffee shop. And at the time, it was just a dream back in 2015. But God helped us to put that dream into a reality. The coffee shop opened in 2019, and God has helped us over these past 4 years to be able to welcome thousands of guests through those doors and to build relationships with people that would never have walked into our church, but have walked into our lives. And it's just a real blessing. But it's also a challenge, because when you're talking about working a coffee shop Monday through Saturday, each day showing up and having a team that's willing to do that, it's a grind, no pun intended. And so continuing to try to develop the team and continue to develop the business, there's all kinds of things that need to be looked at and developed and worked on. And again, there's people. And when you're dealing with people, you're dealing with problems. And so there's the interpersonal part of things. There's the business side of things. And so there's no end of opportunity there in the business and in the ministry part in terms of reaching out to the people and having events and having things that are growing and developing. But that's another opportunity that's in our lives. Right now, there's also the opportunity of the church that's there. New Beginnings Fellowship started a few years ago, thanks to the leadership of Tonway Sherman. And Tonway and Judy have done an amazing job over these past few years of shepherding the congregation. But this Sunday, I'll be meeting with the congregation, and we're going to be talking through some challenges that they're facing right now. Again, there's opportunity. The congregation has made some real progress in the past few years. But along with that, there are challenges. And so continuing to try to work through those challenges and to develop the ministry into all that God wants it to be means that there are things that need to be looked at. There are things that need to be developed further. That's another aspect of the ministry. You know, we've looked at other cities and prayed about and scouted and endeavored to recruit other workers to come and join us in other places. And I could talk about some of those opportunities. But I guess my point in endeavoring to share all this with you is that there reaches a point, and I'm there right now, at this very moment, when you are just choking on opportunity. Here you are, surrounded with all these things, all this opportunity. And yet, where are you in the middle of it? And where is your focus? Because again, you started out because you cared to do something significant, to endeavor to grow something that would make a difference. And you're endeavoring still to do that. But when you said yes to it, you didn't envision all that it would become. And so as it grows, there's more to look at. There's more that needs to be done. And it begins to take more and more time. It begins to take more than what you originally intended to give to it. And then what do you do? What do you do when there's no longer enough of you to go around all of the various opportunities that you're part of? What do you say no to? What gets pushed off the plate? What happens to the people that are depending on you as a leader? I know that everybody has their version of this story, and again, I'm most familiar with my story, and it's not a sad story. It's a story filled with God's grace and Him continuing to, in spite of my weakness, in spite of my failings, in spite of all the things that I haven't done right, that He has continued to move His work forward. And He's continued to allow me to be a little tiny part of it. He's doing all kinds of things through all kinds of people in the world, in all kinds of places that I may never see. And the exciting thing to me is that I get to be part of that. It really is a privilege to be part of God's great work in the world. But sooner or later, and I'm there. I'm there at this precise moment. As a leader, you have to look in the mirror. You have to look at things realistically and say, you know, I can't continue to do what I'm doing right now. I just finished Henry Cloud's book, Necessary Endings. And by the way, it's a great book, and you should read it. And he uses the agricultural principle that, you know, there are different seasons. And so there's a season for planting. And if you just continue to plant, and you never cultivate what you've planted, you're never going to have a harvest, because you've got all this little stuff and it's just dying for lack of cultivation, for lack of care. There's a point at which you have to stop planting and begin to cultivate. And then there's another season where you are finished cultivating and you have to begin to harvest, because there's fruit there and you can continue weeding, but that's not the point. You've got to actually begin to do something with it. And then after you harvest, there's a window of opportunity where if you don't preserve the harvest, it's going to spoil. And so you have to move into that preservation mode at that point and begin to do something with what you have planted and cultivated and harvested. And learning to navigate that as a leader means that there are moments along the way when you have to prune, you have to cut off buds that are growing, buds that could become roses if they were allowed to continue. But he points out in the book that a rose will naturally produce more buds than what it can bring to maturity. And so the wise gardener will prune back those buds that he knows are lesser so that he can bring the ones that he wants to full maturity. And that's just the way that it works. It's a zero-sum game. If you say yes to this, by default, you're saying no to something else. And so being intentional with our yes means that we have to defend every yes with 1,000 no's, as I think it was Steve Jobs that once said. And so many companies find themselves in this place where they've got, you know, 1,000 products and they love them all. But the reality is that they can't sustain 1,000 products. And so what are the few things that they can do and do well? And so Jim Collins makes the point in one of his books, I can't remember whether it was Good to Great or Great by Choice, but he makes the point that companies that fail many times don't fail for lack of opportunity. They're choking on opportunity. They fail because they are not bringing the opportunity that they have to completion. They're not able to finish getting the product to market with the sufficient resources necessary to be able to actually make that product successful. And I think the challenge in leadership is to be honest with ourselves. Where am I at right now? The question is not, is there an ending coming? The question is, what kind of an ending is it going to be? Are we going to actually land this plane on a runway, or is it going to crash in a cornfield? It is going to come down. There's no doubt about that. What goes up will come down. The question is just where and how. And it's a question that I've been reflecting on. You know, a lot of times as leaders, it's really, to be honest, challenging to continue to have hope for the future. But Henry Cloud in his book says that there's a time to get hopeless. There's a moment when we have to come to a reality that it's not going to be any different. Just because we want it to be different, or just because we hold out this illusion of hope and call it hope, doesn't mean that it's going to change. The best thing that we can do is to get hopeless in those moments when we need to get hopeless. I cannot continue to do this. I'm no longer going to continue to enable this alcoholic. I'm no longer going to continue to spend money hoping that this business is going to turn around. Because without fresh input, without changes, me just continuing to hope that it's going to get better isn't going to change the situation. And so there is a necessary ending coming. The question is just what kind of an ending is it going to be? Is it going to be the plane landing on the runway, or is it going to be the cornfield? That's the question. It's not a matter as if there is an ending coming. It is coming. It's just what kind of an ending. And I think that as leaders, many times, you know, we hold up leaders who are optimistic. He's just a visionary. He's a dreamer. He's someone who, you know, has great optimism. We can see that optimism. But what you can't see many times are those moments of doubt, those moments when you wonder, did I do the right thing? Did we do the right thing? And it's a challenge. It's a challenge to maintain a sense of forward momentum, continue to maintain hope, and knowing when it's time to pull the plug, when it's time to take a step back, when it's time to resign. But I'm thankful for the ways in which God has given me, along with those opportunities, teams who will share the vision. You know, the reality is that just because all of this needs to be attended to doesn't mean that I need to be the one attending to it. Just because I have started something doesn't mean that it's mine until the day I die. You know, no one is indispensable. And every day that this world goes around, we're reminded of that by someone who passes out of this life into eternity. And we get notification that this person that we loved and we cared about died. They're gone. And the sad reality is, life goes on. Life continues. And for those who love that person and are left behind, they're grieving. Not just for days, but for weeks and months and years to come. They're forever different because of that loss. And yet, there is no one who is still in leadership today that was in leadership 100 years ago. I would probably say even 50 years ago, for the most part, in most organizations. We are constantly reminded that none of us are indispensable. And yet, many times we live in such a way that we think it's all going to revolve around us. And so there's no thought of who's going to come next, who's going to replace me, and how am I working in such a way today that when I am removed from the picture, that the work that I have started will continue. Because that's the real test, isn't it? Not does it function under my leadership, but can it function without me? Can it function after me? You know, there's a sense in which every leader has to take that sense of responsibility seriously. When they're in the driver's seat, there can't be two people in the driver's seat. And so they're there. They're bearing the weight. They are the ones having to make the hard choices and do the things that need to be done. But who are we developing so that one day they're going to be able to drive. I'm currently in the process of training our third driver here in the family. Training a new driver is a challenging thing, not just for the driver, but for the parent who is sitting there in the passenger seat. And for those of you who have walked that road or driven it, you know what I'm talking about. That white-knuckled experience when you're pushing an imaginary brake pedal that's not there. When you are grasping an imaginary steering wheel that's not there, and you're endeavoring to bite your tongue, at least in my case, and not say the things that at that precise moment maybe don't need to be said. And yet at the same time, learning how to say those things that do need to be said. Because the only way that we're ever going to produce safe drivers is if they are hearing the admonitions, if they are receiving the training that they need. And as we go along, they eventually, many of them, are going to become better drivers than we are. And they will navigate roads that we may never go down, and they will surpass us. But we were the ones who helped them to get their start. I'm thankful for the people in my life that invested in me and carried the load and developed the places and the situations where I received training and help. I'm thankful for that. But learning how to let go of those opportunities and begin to allow others who have been trained and developed to begin to fly and to flourish, it's a challenging season. And then there's the other part. What happens when something that you've invested in, that you've put your heart and soul into, now is in disrepair, or someone else has to make the hard choice to say, you know, we're no longer going to be able to continue this? Are we willing to let it go? Or do we feel like that we need to, for the sake of our legacy, for our credibility, for whatever reason, to grasp onto things that may have served a purpose in their time, and yet that time has come and that time is gone? So I'm doing some reflecting today, and wanted to share some of those reflections with you just in the moment, here where I'm at. I hope that wherever you are in life's journey right now, that gives you some food for thought. For Gleaning and Gathering, God bless.